reforming how agencies buy and manage technology is no doubt a long-term process. But if you look closely, there are signs that the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA, is starting to take root. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about three agencies where FITARA is helping to address long-standing challenges in his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, and he joins me now to discuss. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Jared.
And in the notebook this week, you've got a few different examples of changes going on in federal agencies where, you know, even if they don't have FITARA in big blinking neon signs on them, you can convincingly argue that these things might not be happening without that reform law. What are some of the signs that you see out there?
I think you're absolutely right. That's what stood out to me as I was at a conference recently and the CIOs were on stage talking about different programs or projects. None of them said FITARA, FITARA, FITARA. But knowing the history of each of these agencies, and we'll go through them in a sec, it's just occurred to me, hey, people always want to say, when will we know FITARA is working? When will FITARA really make an impact on the federal government? And what I think is going to happen is not, again, as you said, no one big blinking sign that says, hey, FITARA is working now. But I think it's these types of examples that you go, now, would this have gotten done without FITARA? And so let's just start with the Commerce Department.
Sure.
And the big project that they have, the census, the 2020 count. Now, Steve Cooper is the CIO at the Commerce Department. Over the years, as I've covered the Commerce Department and the Census Bureau, you rarely heard the CIO of the Commerce Department talk directly about what the census is going to do. It was always kind of, well, I'm working closely, I'm paying attention, I have meetings. But Steve Cooper knew in great detail the fact is a couple things. The census is going to go all digital. It's going to be the first time, he said, in this the history of the country that the census will not be pencil and paper. It's going to be all digital. Second thing he said is we're going to go to a cloud. And not just any cloud, but obviously a government-only cloud that's in a government data center. But the fact is he knew that and he was proposing it and saying, listen, we have a concept of operations. Now our technical folks are really taking a deep dive to make sure that it's architected the right way, that it does have the security we need, and it can meet our needs. And that just occurred to me that level of knowledge would only come from sitting down, talking to them, paying very close attention across all of the Commerce Department about this specific project. Now, okay, let's be clear, Jared, this is a huge project. So it's not surprising that any CIO would be that close to it. But it just gave me the feeling that FITARA is giving Steve Cooper or whoever is in that role just that other kind of push forward.
Yeah, and that level of granular detail, as you said. How about the Agriculture Department?
Now, that's another interesting one. Jonathan Albom is a fairly new CIO at the Agriculture Department, and he's now the third CIO to talk about consolidating networks. Now, the Agriculture Department's a big, goes across the country, has multiple bureaus, and there's 17 or even 18 separate disparate networks. And I've covered Cheryl Cook, I've covered Chris Smith, two previous CIOs, and both have talked about the consolidation of this network, and they've done this bits and pieces of it. Chris Smith, for instance, brought USDA to the cloud for email, a consolidation of something like 21 different email systems. Cheryl Cook consolidated the help desk. Again, a consolidation of multiple help desks across the entire agency. The difference here is Jonathan Albom is saying, we had an offsite last week. We brought everyone together. We're going to figure out how best to use the GSA Networks 2020 umbrella vehicle, which is a big contract for all of the next generation telecommunication services. And I think, again, he didn't say it because of FITARA I'm doing this, but because of FITARA, you can point to the fact that he has the secretary and the deputy secretary support, and he's bringing those other bureau-level CIOs who maybe at one time fought Chris Smith or Cheryl Cook in the past from being able to consolidate networks or always had a reason of why they couldn't consolidate networks. FITARA is giving Jonathan really the view of where money is being spent, how much money is being spent, and then how can they spend less money on this thing called networks. And then finally, I also heard from Richard McKinney, and Richard's been out in front of FITARA. He's been very vocal about freezing the IT spend across the Transportation Department until his office can figure out where the money's going, who's spending what, and who owns which software and pieces of hardware. But the other piece to this now is he recognizes that any kind of freeze is going to be tough across the agencies, and he developed a virtual sandbox, one in an Amazon Web Services cloud, another one in a Microsoft Azure cloud. And long story short is he's saying, I understand this can be a bit of a hardship, but here's what I'm doing for you, and let's bring all these pieces together so you have a place to try things out, to try out technology. And at the same time, he's also addressing this idea of shadow IT. So again, Jared, none of these three CIOs even mention Fatah in their speeches. But if you start kind of pulling the pieces together, it's, oh, okay, they can do that now better because of Fatah.
But when you look at a CIO like a Richard McKinney, I mean, he's no shrinking violet. How do you connect the dots at all to Fatah rather than just saying, oh, here's a person, you know, this is a strong CIO who is a strong leader, and that has more to do with change than any particular, implementation of legislation?
You're absolutely right. I think it does have much more to do with the person sitting in the CIO seat than any one law. And I'm not sure the law would even matter. If the law wasn't there, would Richard McKinney still do what he wants to do in terms of ensuring that there's a smart spending of IT? And the answer, I think, would be yes. I mean, you're right. It is his personality. But because he has Fatah now behind him, he can go to, again, the secretary, the deputy secretary of transportation and say, hey, we're going in this direction. You need to get on board. You need to support me. Here's the multiple reasons why. And here's the view I now have of where all our money is spending, because the modals, as he calls it, you know, the modals are sending information up to him now in a different way than maybe they did before or more regularly. You just get the impression that, yes, he could be successful, but Fatah is just giving him that added push.
And we're talking to Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about his latest edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook. And Jason, let's switch gears to acquisition, another topic that you write about this week, category management specifically. The Obama administration, pretty excited about where things are going on that. And I guess you would characterize the Hill's perspective on it as maybe confused, maybe less enthusiastic.
This is a growing problem I'm seeing when I talk to people in industry, when I talk to now, obviously, the letter from the House Small Business Committee regarding what category management is, how it's going to work, and what does it mean. You know, I think the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, generally speaking, has been good, or at least tried hard to explain what this is. This is bringing all the information together in one place so contracting officers can make a good decision. That's the ultimate goal of category management. It is not to direct agencies to use, for instance, only contracts from GSA. It is not to direct agencies to only have GSA do all their procurement, because the General Services Administration, as we know, is a main player in this category management initiative. At the same time, what the message is coming across to industry, and now it seems to be on Capitol Hill, is it's all about centralized buying. It's all about reducing the number of small businesses and or large businesses providing to the federal government. It's all about price. We see a very similar concern about everything's going to be about lowest price and not about qualifications and skills. And people bring up the fact is GSA, is the administration trying to head back to the pre-Brooks Act era? Now, for those of you who weren't around during the Brooks, before the Brooks Act,
I'm raising my hand.
We're talking about the Brooks Act of 1972. And that basically moved agencies off of the price, lowest price only, to looking at broader qualifications. And I think that's really the key here. Is OFPP explaining what this is about well enough? And if not, if they think they are, then what's the miscommunication happening both on Capitol Hill and within industry?
You mentioned that letter from the chairman and the ranking member of the House Small Business Committee. I'll just read a couple lines from it because it's kind of striking. It says, while category management has been billed as the strategy that can get agencies the lowest price, all evidence the committee has seen points to the contrary. In many cases, the multiple award schedule contract holders continue to provide lower prices versus those offered by category management contract holders. I've never heard of a category management contract holder. Where is that confusion coming from?
So, to me, that read of they're talking about strategic sourcing, and I think a lot of the things they point out in the letter, I would point back to saying that's the problem with strategic sourcing, not category management.
Right.
But then what they also bring up, and part of this issue is, there's been these laptop, desktop contracts, and there's also been there's a contract in the works for mobile, and that maybe is also what they're talking about, where OMB has mandated agencies buy laptops and desktops on a standard image from only one of three contracts, NASA SUP, GSA Schedules, and NIH CIOSP3. So therefore, because they're pushing everyone in that direction, maybe that's what they're talking about too. It's unclear about what that is. But I think that's just a great example of the confusion. What is it? Is it just strategic sourcing on steroids, as some people have said? The answer from OFPP and GSA is no, it is not. Strategic sourcing is one tool in the toolbox, but not the only tool. So there's a lot going on. And I think it's part of the growing pains, Jared, but at the same time, I think OFPP and GSA, but more OFPP, really does need to do a better job of really explaining what they're trying to do. It's just all about continuous messaging, I think.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller talking with us about the latest edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook. Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure.
And you can read all about the topics we've been discussing and much more at federalnewsradio.com/Jason Miller.